Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
The sports world keeps spinning, and the local conversation continues. Now, Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
And a very good Tuesday evening to you, Jacksonville. The late show this week for Hacker After Dark. Every Tuesday, we are 10 to midnight, and we are glad you are staying up with us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Dylan Denmark, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. We have a lot going on over the next 2 hours. Let me kind of set the scene for you. Coming up in under 20 minutes, right about 10:15 this evening, you will hear from the newest commitment to the University of Florida. It was last night that Bartram Trail defensive back Sharif Denson, a four-star, a Under Armour All-American, announced his intention to commit to Billy Napier and the Florida Gators. I had a conversation with Sharif earlier today. We will play that for you coming up in about 15 minutes. So Gator fans, you want to stick around for that. Your newest four-star commitment, Sharif Denson, coming up in less than 15 minutes. Coming up at 10:35, we will go to Clay County. If we're going to give Florida some love, we'll give Florida State some love. They got a commitment from Roderick Kearney, the offensive lineman out at Orange Park High School. We'll talk to Roderick as well about his commitment to Mike Norvell and Florida State. So equal time for both Florida and Florida State fans tonight. You'll hear from Roderick Kearney at 10:35. I also want you to hear from Marcus Wimberly. Who is Marcus Wimberly? Well, he's the head coach at Orange Park High School, a graduate of the University of Miami, a fifth-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons back in 1997, and he is brand new to the high school coaching sidelines. So you'll hear from Orange Park head coach Marcus Wimberly and Orange Park offensive lineman and current Florida State commitment, Roderick Kearney, coming up in about a half an hour. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll go to Gainesville. My friend Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. Again, talking about everything going on at the University of Florida when it comes to recruiting, missing out on a couple of guys, getting Sharif Denson last night. Where do things stand right now with Billy Napier and the Gators? And we will end the show this evening about 11:35 or so with my friend Brent Beard, looking all over the Southeastern Conference. So there is certainly a lot of high school and college football we will get into. We'll also get into the National Football League as well. But every night here on Hacker After Dark, to kick things off, we do it with a big deal of the night. And Dylan Denmark, let's do that right now.
Time now for the big deal of the night.
What's the big deal?
What is the big deal?
No big deal.
It is a big deal.
On Hacker After Dark.
So there are a couple of big deals tonight that I wanted to get into. The first of which is in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Big, big news today in the ACC. That means you, Florida State fans. That means you, Miami fans. I know we got some Clemson fans in the area. It was a big day for the ACC because after 2022, there are no more Atlantic and Coastal divisions in the Atlantic Coast Conference. It'll be a free-for-all. It'll be every team for themselves with a brand-new scheduling mechanism, if you will. Every year, you're going to have three constant opponents, and you're going to have five rotating opponents. And what that means is Florida State, for example, your three constants that you will play every year, Clemson, Miami, and Syracuse. That's what you got. They kept the rivalries intact. You get Clemson every year. You still get Miami every year. And you will get Syracuse every year. The five rotators are like this. In 2023, you'll play five ACC teams. In 2025, 2 years later, you'll play those same five teams in the opposing stadium that the 2023 game was in. And likewise, in 2024, you will play five additional ACC teams. And in 2026, 2 years apart, you will play those same five teams in the opposite stadium. To break it all down and make it as simple as possible, this scheduling format allows for each collegiate athlete, if they spend 4 years in college, to play in every stadium in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I like it. I like it a lot. Look, we've talked a lot here on Hacker After Dark about the flaws of the SEC schedule. By the way, that's about to change too. It has to when Texas and Oklahoma arrive. So this might be the precursor to that, what the ACC did. But the ACC had problems of its own. For example, Clemson has only been to Miami one time since 2010. One time in the last 12 years, Clemson has visited Miami. Conference foes. But because of the schedule, because you had to play every team in your division, you just couldn't get matchups like Clemson and Miami. Clemson in the Atlantic, Miami in the Coastal. That is now going away. I got to tell you, I don't see a problem. My concern always, when we talked about this with the SEC, and you can mention it with the ACC too, is would we be able to keep the big rivalries? Would the big rivalries remain intact? And to the ACC's credit, they absolutely did. We mentioned Florida State gets Clemson and Miami every year. Now, Miami fan, you have a little different situation. Your three constant opponents are Florida State, Boston College, and Louisville, which means I believe those three are all in the Atlantic Division right now. Miami's in the Coastal. So, Miami, you're losing every opponent that you've been playing for the last, what, decade. You're losing Georgia Tech every year. You're losing Virginia every year. You're losing Duke and North Carolina every year. You're losing Pitt and Virginia Tech every year. You'll still play them, just not on an every year basis. You keep the Noles, which was the big one.
I have always liked Florida State.
That's true. Pat Kennedy basketball camp when I was 8 years old. That is my passion for Florida State, was attending the Pat Kennedy basketball camp. Also was seated in the animal section of Dick Howser Stadium for a season. That's when people in Tallahassee, Denmark, were trying to convert me into the Garnet and Gold, getting me away from Gator Nation.
That's what made you a true man.
They took me to the Pat Kennedy basketball camp. They gave me tickets, sitting with the animals, watching Doug Minkiewicz and Paul Wilson and the boys get after it for Florida State baseball. I held strong, though. Held to my roots. But Miami and Florida State, you will still play every year. But Miami does lose Virginia Tech. Miami does lose North Carolina. Miami does lose Georgia Tech. So I wonder, Hurricane fans, do you care about that? No long-standing rivalry. Although Miami and Virginia Tech, you had a nice little thing going there for a little bit. That will not be played every year now. But it's like North Carolina gets NC State every year. Perfect. North Carolina also gets Duke every year. Good. Virginia Tech gets Virginia every year. So I like the fact that most of the big rivalries in the ACC will indeed remain intact. And look, if you're an SEC fan, if you're a fan of the Gators, the Bulldogs, Alabama, Auburn, whomever, start studying the way the ACC did this, because you're next. Something very similar, more than likely, is going to come down. Now, what have we talked about in the SEC? Well, there's one constant and seven rotators that's been thrown out there. I don't like that. I've told you guys I don't like that. That means if you're a team like Alabama, you're probably going to lose the Tennessee game. That means if you're Georgia, you're probably going to lose the Auburn game. And that, to me, is no bueno. You got to find a way to keep those rivalries. To me, the much more interesting one in the SEC is the three constants and six rotators. But again, do the math on that. That means you need to add to a ninth conference game. And there are a lot of people that apparently do not really want nine conference games in the Southeastern Conference. So college football is changing. We know that. We understand that. This will be the last year the ACC does things the way they've done it for the last decade plus. And in 2023, The schedule as we know it in the Atlantic Coast Conference will change. It's a four-year, I guess, trial. They've agreed to do this schedule from 2023 to 2026. Not permanent, a four-year trial basis to see indeed how it works. Also in the world of college football, what I think is another big deal of the night, another mock draft out for 2023 from ESPN.com. This time Matt Miller, friend of the program, friend of the station, put it out there. I'm not going to break down everything. I will tell you, he has Jacksonville picking fourth in the 2023 draft, which again would be no good. Good grief, get me out of the top five. If they're not picking in the top five, that to me might even be a success. Just get me out of the top five in the draft. But why do I bring it up? Well, again, another mock draft, another top 10 for Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami. That guy is in every top 10 that I've seen for 2023 mock drafts. Miami fans, the scouts, love your quarterback. Absolutely love your quarterback. And Gator fans, they love your quarterback too. Now, Matt Miller has Anthony Richardson a little lower than Mel Kiper and Todd McShay did. Remember, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay had Anthony Richardson, I believe, in the top 15 of either their big board or their first mock for 2023. Miller has him a little lower, but still in the first round, going 27th. By the way, going to the Indianapolis Colts, I don't want that. Don't put Anthony Richardson in the AFC South. I don't want that. I like the fact that he's a first rounder in this mock, but yeah, I don't want to deal with him in the NFL because I think he's going to be pretty good. But the bottom line is the bottom line. Another mock draft from ESPN has both the Miami starting quarterback and the Florida starting quarterback taken in the first round. It'll be fascinating to see. We've talked about the parallels. Both guys are third-year sophomores. Both guys are being coached by first-year head coaches. Mario Cristobal in Miami, Billy Napier in Florida. Both guys obviously starting quarterbacks in the Sunshine State. And both guys with a lot, and I do mean a lot, of expectations on their plate. Where Tyler Van Dyke has the edge over Anthony Richardson is quite simply he's played a lot more than Anthony Richardson. Van Dyke got his feet wet last year. He played, got the experience. I've told you guys for the last couple of months, I think AR-15 is going to have a great year. I think if he stays healthy, he could have an unbelievable year. But there is a little piece to me with a little trepidation that he did only throw 64 passes last year. 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. He only completed 59% of his passes. He started one game. The Georgia game, right? That's the only game he started. Emory Jones is gone. You don't have that safety valve anymore. It's Anthony Richardson's team. I think things are going to work out. But it does surprise me at the level of hype he has coming into this year. When again, he just simply did not play very much last year. We know there were injury-related issues, among other things. But we'll see how Anthony Richardson does. He's going to get a tough, tough test right off the bat. A little over 2 months away from the Pac-12 champion Utah Utes coming in to Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. It is a Tuesday night on Hacker After Dark. We're glad you're with us. It's 1010XL. And 92.5 FM, as always, Jacksonville. We are streaming for your viewing pleasure on YouTube. Just go to 1010XL's YouTube channel. You'll see Hacker After Dark right there. Be sure and like and subscribe while you're there. We'll be streaming until midnight tonight. Also on my personal Twitter, at Ryan Green, 1010XL, at Ryan Green, 1010XL. You can catch us on Twitter until midnight this evening. Speaking of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, Florida Field. Got a treat for you, Gator fans. Last night, you had a four-star from Bartram Trail. Sharif Denson committed to Billy Napier and the Gators for 2023. I had the opportunity earlier today to talk to Sharif Denson about Billy Napier, about Corey Raymond and what he meant in the recruiting process and about what it means to commit to the University of Florida. Gator fans, your newest commitment, Sharif Denson, Bartram Trail High School. He's next on Hacker After Dark.
Hacker After Dark on 1010XL. Now, another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, we are glad you are with us. The Florida Gators got some good news on the recruiting trail late last night. Sharif Denson, the four-star corner out of Bartram Trail, commits to the University of Florida, put out an incredible commitment video as well on social media. Gator fans were all fired up. Let's talk to Sharif about his commitment and what led him to Gainesville. Sharif, thank you for hopping on 1010XL, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's a blessing to be here.
Hey, congratulations on the commitment. I'm sure you saw Twitter last night. Florida fans were, needless to say, all sorts of fired up to have you. What was it about Billy Napier and the Gators that led you that direction?
Man, just I'm from Florida. Right? That's been my school since I was young. And just with the addition of Corey Raymond and the new staff, like, it was a no-brainer.
And it's so close to home, too, right? We've talked so much about Jacksonville and the surrounding area needing to be Florida's backyard. We saw last year Jack Pyburn from Bowles going there. One of your former teammates, Trevez Johnson from Bartram a couple of years ago. Now you continue that Jacksonville pipeline. Was it cool to be able to stay so close to home?
Of course. And I'm a big family guy. Love to be around the family, so an opportunity that's not too far away from the crib is great.
Sharif Denson, the newest commitment of the University of Florida. Of course, he is a four-star out of Bartram Trail High School. You know, I say four-star, and Sharif, I'm always curious when I talk to you guys. That's quite an honor, right? I mean, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of high school football players in this country, and you are considered to be, on most websites, among the top 300 of that group. I mean, does that ever kind of sink in to you at all? Do you ever think about that?
Yes, sir. I don't be dwelling on it all the time, but it's a blessing to be where I'm at. I just can't take nothing for granted. My coaches and everybody who done poured everything into me, that's really like them too. That's a reflection of them. So I'm pushing hard every day, and I'm going to keep the name that I got.
Sharif, a lot of Gator fans that are listening right now might have seen tape from you on Huddle or 24/7. Maybe they haven't seen you play live. What kind of football player are you? How do you describe your game? What's Florida getting in Sharif Denson?
They get in a corner who's going to fly around, a corner who's going to be on the number one wide receiver if need be, a corner that's going to come up and hit something, a corner that's going to – I could do anything for real in the secondary. So y'all getting a versatile – fast cornerback out of Florida. Y'all know how them Florida DBs be.
A couple of more for Sharif Denson from Bartram Trail on his way to the University of Florida. He made his commitment one night ago. Sharif, you mentioned Corey Raymond, and that's a name we constantly hear in the recruiting game when it comes to Florida, what Corey Raymond brings not only to that staff but to the Gators secondary. Describe that for us. What do Gator fans need to know about Corey Raymond?
If you don't already know Corey Raymond, I don't know. Like, Corey Raymond got one of the best track records when it comes to how many, like, college DBs he put in the NFL. And not only them going to the NFL, but also them succeeding at the next level. Like, you got to really look at that because, any coach can get somebody to the league. But, like, can they really be in there and stay in there and be, like, a pro bowler, you feel me? Like, he can do all that and he develops. Like, that's what I'm looking for in a coach, somebody who's going to develop me to be an NFL DB.
You know, similar question about Billy Napier. We know about scared money don't make money, and we see him in the press conferences, and we hear him at the Gator gatherings. But Gator fans have never had the personal interaction like you have had with Coach Napier. What do you like about him, and what kind of led you to Billy Napier and making that commitment?
Just how genuine of a man he is. Like, he really wants the best for you at the end of the day, even if that's not with the Gators. But also at the same time, like, he he brought to Florida what the standard that they needed. Like Florida, I mean, Florida's Florida for a reason. Like they should be good. They have like the best skill players that could like the best skill players come out of Florida. So he's bringing a standard to Florida that they needed. Like, so he's bringing that Alabama standard for real. Like he gonna hold everybody to a certain standard. And if you ain't on that, then you just gonna have to get ghost. So he gonna start leveling down the people in Gainesville. He gonna make everybody on the same standard. And everybody gonna be great. It's gonna be competition every day. Like it's gonna be great.
Sharif, I think you were committed for about 30 minutes last night before you started sending out tweets to other 4- and 5-star guys. And by the way, fan bases love that. I got so many texts this morning. Man, Sharif's already recruiting for us. That guy's awesome. I mean, that's when you are a guy of your stature, when you're a big-time recruit, and not to – I mean, you're not saying this. I'm saying it for you. You are a big-time recruit. That's just things that you guys do. You make your commitment, and then you say, hey – let's bring some other guys to Gainesville with me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, that's big. I got to. You want to go to a great team, but you want to have great players playing with you as well. So I'm going to do my best to get whoever they trying to get and get some guys that I think that could be good for us as well.
Let's focus on your high school career as we begin to wrap up with you. What did it mean to be named an All-American? I imagine that was a great honor.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great honor. It's a great honor, but I don't even be looking into that for real. I just make sure that I'm grinding every day. Every day I got to work out and make sure I'm giving 100%. Make sure I'm out there pushing my teammates. So, I mean, it's cool, but just got to know what's the end goal. Feel me?
Sharif Denson of Bartram Trail. I'm good buddies with your coach, Daryl Sutherland, out there. What a job he's done with that program for almost over two decades out in St. Johns County. Sharif, what have you learned from Coach Sutherland as a guy that consistently has winning teams out there at Bartram Trail High School?
Just Coach Sutherland, man. It's way too many things you could teach from him. I can't even come tell you. But just the main thing that he really preaches to us is that, like, excellence in everything you do. So you can't just be good on the football field and give 100% in your workouts and give 100% in the weight room and then go to the classroom and not give 100%, or go to your house that you live at and not give everybody in your house like 100% of your time. And you see what I'm saying? So, like, how you do one thing is how you got to do everything.
Sharif Denson of Bartram Trail. As we begin to wrap up here, your senior season, Sharif, I imagine this is a big year for you. Bartram Trail historically has been very good in the regular season. Deep playoff runs, ultimately have never achieved the main goal of a state championship. I imagine a dream scenario for you would to be going out with that state championship. What are your expectations this year coming into your senior campaign?
I would say our team is young, so, like, we got a bunch of, like, our senior class is probably going to be, like, pretty small compared to what we lost from last year. But all we got to do is just grind and come to practice every day for a purpose. Like, if we do that, like, we're going to be straight. We're going to be good. We got little pieces. We got a QB. We got one person at every level as far as, like, the defense. So, like, we're going to be straight. We just got to make sure we go hard every day and make sure we strive to get better every day at practice, which I feel like we are. So I'm confident about this season.
All right, Sharif, we're the home of the Florida Gators here in Jacksonville. All the Gator games are broadcast on our radio station. A lot of Gator fans listening right now. Any sort of message to Gator Nation the night after or the day after you made your commitment official? What do you want Gator fans to know?
And it's just it feels great to be a Gator. I'm happy to be part of the Gator family. Now let's work. I'm gonna show y'all that, like, I'm really one of the best recruits. Like, y'all gonna get like a real life, like, NFL draft corner out of me for real. So let's work. I'm excited, man. Thank y'all.
Hey, Sharif, always enjoy the conversation, man. Thank you. I know you've been crazy busy the last 24 hours. We'll talk again soon, and best of luck to Bartram Trail this upcoming season.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. Sharif Denson, caught up with him earlier today. Very impressive young man. I told Sharif after I talked to him, I talked to a lot of 17 and 18-year-olds that commit to programs. And some are certainly better than others when it comes to engaging with the media. I was pretty impressed by Sharif Denson. He answered all the questions thoughtfully, thought about all of them. So from that standpoint, very, very impressive young man. We're going to have Daryl Sutherland, his head coach, on later in the week from Bartram Trail to tell Gator fans a little bit more about Sharif Denson. So that was certainly some good news for the Gators last night. And it's so interesting. You know, look, rankings are what rankings are. I don't put a whole lot of stock into them at this point because we're 5.5 months away from the first national signing day, and we're a whopping 7.5 months away from the second one in February. Having said that, though, you would have thought the sky was falling in Gator Nation this weekend when they lost out on a couple of guys, right? They lost out on Rod Kearney, the offensive lineman of Orange Park, commits to Florida State. By the way, we're going to play the interview I had with him in about 10 minutes. Equal opportunity here on Hacker After Dark. You hear from a Gator commit, well, now you're about to hear from a Seminole commit. But Florida fans were upset by that. And they were obviously upset by losing Jaden Rashada, the quarterback to Miami. Although, as I told you last night, anybody that covers recruiting, anybody that's a fan of recruiting, basically knew for the last 10 days or so that Rashada was going to Miami. That was not a surprise among people in the business. That might have been a surprise to fans that didn't know, but that was not a surprise to a lot of people. But having said all that, I bring this up. Florida right now is ranked 30th in recruiting rankings. Again, take that for what it's worth. But according to 24/7, they have 5 four-star prospects and 4 3-star prospects. All right, so 5 4-stars. What are Gator fans complaining about? Right now, Florida is ranked higher than Oregon, Wisconsin, Nebraska, South Carolina, Florida State, Oklahoma, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, LSU, and that's just to name a few. Calm down. Napier's going to get it under control. By the way, equal opportunity. Mario Cristobal in Miami, they're picking up steam, man. I like what Miami's doing. There is no doubt about that. They did land Jaden Rashada, or at least got his verbal commitment. With that, that will attract players that want to come play with a high-profile quarterback. So Miami's looking pretty good, too. Florida State getting Rod Kearney out of Orange Park. That's a big deal. Speaking of Roderick Kearney, let's hear from him next. Roderick Kearney chose Florida State over many, many other options, including Florida. What was it about Mike Norvell? What was it about the Seminoles that led him to Tallahassee? Seminole fans, you'll hear that next. It's a Tuesday night edition of Hacker After Dark. We're glad you're with us right here on both 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's Hacker After Dark on 1010XL. Now.
Hello.
Another great guest on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville. We are glad you are with us. It was a big weekend for Florida State on the recruiting trail as they got a good one from Clay County. Let's go to Orange Park High School right now. Roderick Kearney of Orange Park commits to Florida State, and he is with us here on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Roderick, congratulations, man. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing amazing. How about yourself?
Roderick, we are good, and thank you for the time. I know you've been busy since the commitment, and let's dive right into it, man. What was it about Mike Norvell? What was it about Florida State that led you in that direction?
I just feel like it was a better choice for me, a better option, due to the people, you know, the people around. You know, without the people, you know, there's no team bonding. And, you know, I feel like Coach Atkins do a really great job of coaching the O-line. So, you know, me being there and me going there to watch some practices and all that stuff, I got to see how he coached and how he get down. And I also went to some of the camps, so he got a chance to teach me. And I like the way he teaches. So.
You know, a guy like you, I first heard about you probably 2 years ago, and you get all the recruiting letters, you get all the coaches calling you night and day. Now you're 6 weeks away from starting your senior season. Roderick, was it a matter of you just kind of wanted this over with so you can enjoy your senior year?
Yes, sir. I've never really been into all that recruiting stuff. You know, I'm, at the end of the day, I'm still a high school football player, and I got a whole team I got to focus on and get ready for my senior season. So, no, I ain't really focused on that stuff a lot. So, as of right now, yeah, I got to grind. Grind with my football team right now. So, we can win some games this year.
Roderick Kearney of Orange Park High School. He's on his way to Florida State. Let's talk about Orange Park. You got a brand-new head coach and Coach Marcus Wimberly. Now, he's a Miami guy. You're now a Florida State guy. I wonder if there'll be any back and forth there. But talk about your new head coach. I had a conversation with him earlier in this week. Seems like a very, very impressive man.
Yes, sir. Coach Wimberly, he's a great coach. He also brought some coaches along with him. Coach Kobe, really great coach. You know, I learned a lot so far. I feel like he's really going to change this program around with the way he teaches and the way he's on us and all that stuff. So, yes, sir.
Roderick, the one thing is, and I think it's interesting when you talk about a guy like you, a four-star, you have colleges everywhere wanting you to commit to them, so you're obviously in high demand. And you could go to a lot of different high schools, right? You have chosen to stay at Orange Park and finish your high school career at Orange Park. What went into that decision? Did you ever think about going anywhere else, or are you loyal to the school where you've been at all these years?
At the end of the day, you know, I'm a Raider. You know, I'm always be a Raider. I've been going to, I've been in Orange Park for a while now, you know, and I built my own legacy, you know, Orange Park, from Orange Park on the map. So it's only right that I, you know, continue and like ride out with my team.
And how important is that to your senior year? Because we know the teams in Clay County. Look, Fleming Island has made some noise in the playoffs. Oakleaf certainly has as well. Clay back in the day. I would imagine with you going out one more year at Orange Park, you want Orange Park to kind of get in that mix and certainly make it back to the postseason.
Correct. I feel like with all the work we've been putting in, you know, nobody really see the work we've been putting in. But Coach Rimbaud and Coach Kobe and them, and the rest of the coaching staff really do a great job of coaching us, you know, to the best of their abilities so we can, you know, come out, you know, on top for the season.
Couple of more for Roderick Kearney of Orange Park. He committed to Florida State over the weekend. Roderick, for Seminole fans listening to this that maybe haven't seen your game, maybe they've just seen highlights on Huddle or 24/7, what kind of football player are you? What are they getting with Roderick Kearney over there in Tallahassee?
I feel like they're going to get not only a physical player, but a fundamentally sound player, and also somebody that's going to, you know, be a team player, that's not only going to be selfless, but like provide a lot for the team, you know, knowledge-wise and my overall game. I feel like it's going to really affect the team in a good way. So,
you know, you being in Clay County, not all that far from Tallahassee, I mean, you just committed to play for Florida State, right, at Doak Campbell Stadium. And you think of all the unbelievable players that have worn that Seminole uniform. I know it's only been a day since it happened, but has it sunk in yet that you're going to play football for the Garnet and Gold there in Tallahassee?
Oh, yeah. I always knew I was going to be a no. You know, it's only going to go up from here. It's only beginning a new journey.
Well, Roderick, as we wrap up with you and Roderick Kearney of Orange Park, what's your hope? What's your expectation for your senior year? Is it a playoff return? Do you want to be even advancing in the playoffs? What's the perfect year for you coming into 2022 to close out your senior campaign there at Orange Park? What are you hopeful for?
I'm trying to go all the way with it. You know, I already know God got a plan for us. So I feel like we put enough work in for us that it's going to pay off. So we're trying to go all the way.
Well, Roderick, we certainly appreciate you taking time out, man, and joining us. A lot of Seminole fans, again, listening tonight. They're very excited to have you on board with this 2023 recruiting class. You have any sort of message for Florida State fans that are listening to this, maybe hearing you for the first time tonight?
Go Noles.
Short and to the point. I like it. Roderick Kearney of Orange Park on his way to Florida State. Hey, Roderick, enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very much, man. Best of luck to Orange Park this year.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Well, there you go. Roderick Kearney of Orange Park, who committed to Florida State. We had Sharif Denson of Bartram Trail, who committed to Florida. Love bringing you these guys who make their commitments, particularly to colleges in our area. I also wanted to bring you Marcus Wimberly. We talked about Marcus Wimberly there with Roderick Kearney. Wimberly is the new head coach out at Orange Park. Miami fans, that might sound familiar to you. Wimberly played at the University of Miami. He was a fifth-round pick of the Atlanta Falcons back in 1997. He is now back in the state of Florida coaching in Clay County at Orange Park. Here is brand new Orange Park Raider head coach Marcus Wimberly on Hacker After Dark. Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville. Glad you are with us as we approach the July 4th weekend. We are on the doorstep of the 2022 high school football season. We are inside of 2 months before the Friday Night Lights will be back here all over Northeast Florida. One of the new men on the sidelines this year will be at Orange Park High School. Marcus Wimberly takes over the Orange Park program, and he joins us here on 1010XL. Coach, how you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Hey, Coach, we are good. Thank you for the time. And year one for you. You were hired at the end of January. You've gone through almost an entire offseason now. How are things going over there for you at Orange Park?
It's going pretty good. The guys are starting to buy into what we're doing, and they're getting acclimated to our style of coaching, and it's going pretty well so far.
Now, you're no stranger to the high school game. You've been a high school coach for many years, the last couple in the state of Tennessee. Have you noticed any differences already between the way Tennessee high school football runs compared to the way Florida high school football runs? How would you compare and contrast those?
I'd say that the athletes are a little more serious here, and you get more time to work with the kids, for sure. We get 20 days in Florida to do spring. We only get 10 in Tennessee. Things like that, little nuances here and there make a big difference.
Coach, what attracted you about the Orange Park job? That's a job that has been good in years past. Certainly they have a lot of talent over there in Clay County. Haven't made the postseason in a couple of years, certainly. But what was it about Orange Park as a job that really got your attention?
Well, it's the area. It's a nice area, and I think there's a lot of potential here. There are a lot of good athletes here in this area. We just have to do a good job of attracting them to Orange Park. And, I saw it as a challenge, and I've done it before in the past, so I think we can do it here.
Marcus Wimberly, the brand-new head coach at Orange Park High School, here with us on 1010XL. And 92.5 FM. You know, Coach, it's interesting about Clay County. A lot of high schools in Clay County, a lot of good high school football in Clay County. That's both a good and a bad thing, because with the amount of high schools that you have out there, the talent can be spread pretty thin. What is your thought about the county as a whole now that you've kind of gotten your feet wet a little bit and gotten a lay of the land?
Like I said before, there's a lot of potential here. It's a growing area. It's becoming populated pretty fast. It is a little thin at the moment. I guess everybody's jogging for positions, but I think it's going to fill itself out in the years to come. So it's going to be a fruitful area.
You know, one of the interesting things for me, Coach, I live over in the Mandarin area, and Orange Park High School is closer to me than a number of Duval County schools. But you are in Clay County. And what does that mean now? Well, that means you are a suburban county, not a metro county, so you can no longer play Duval County schools in district play. What was your reaction to that whole situation?
Well, I was trying to understand it because I was new to the area, but I don't know. I guess I have mixed feelings about it because I think it's good for our kids to go into Duval and in metro areas because, that's a concentrated area. There's a lot of talent in those areas, and I just like to see how good we really are. And you have to face those teams eventually. But now the way it's set up, playoff-wise, you don't. So it's interesting to me. I don't know. Like I said, I have mixed feelings about it. I like to play the best. So,
one of the good
I'm up in the air with it.
Yeah, one of the good things about Clay County is you guys will still play each other, and you can play Duval County schools in non-district games. But Clay County, some really good rivalries out there. When you talk about Fleming Island, Oakleaf, Clay, you know, Middleburg, Ridgeview has made a comeback in recent years. How excited are you for the opportunity to, A, keep some of those rivalries going, and, B, maybe make some new rivalries out there in Clay County?
I mean, we're very excited about that. I think we pretty much have all those schools on the schedule, so it's gonna be fun. It's going to be a fun year to see who comes out on top, and we're going to be jogging for our position. It should be a great season.
Now, you come right into Orange Park. Again, Marcus Wimberly, the head coach of Orange Park High School. You come right into Orange Park, and you inherit a good one along the offensive line. In fact, the young man that made some noise this past weekend with a commitment, Roderick Herney, on his way to Florida State. Now, I know you're a U guy. You're from Miami. We won't get into that in this part of the conversation. But what is it like to coach a young man like Roderick that so many schools wanted and that Florida State ultimately will have?
Like I tell people, I mean, you always want to have talent. It always makes you a better coach, right? It makes it easier for us. And he's a good kid. He's ambitious. He wants to do well. And he's worked hard for us. He's been a great leader. So, I mean, it makes us excited. It makes us better. And it pushes the kids around him to do better as well, because they see the success he's having. So it pushes him to work harder.
A lot of Seminole fans listening right now. Just for the ones that haven't seen Roderick play, just maybe a Cliff Notes version, what kind of football player is he? What is Florida State getting with him?
He's a hard worker. He's mean. You know, from what I've seen so far watching his film, he finishes blocks well. You know, of course, he has some work to do, but he's going to fight to the end, and that's what you need. You know, somebody you can count on, and he's one of those type of guys.
Final,
help you win.
Final couple of moments here with Marcus Wimberly, the new head coach out at Orange Park. Coach, when you take over a program and you had your first off season, like we said, you've been on the job now a little less than 6 months. What is the protocol? What are the one or two things that you wanted to address first? Do you feel like you've checked all the boxes there in your first off season? What is most important on a brand new high school coach's list to get off the ground right when you take the job?
The number one thing is establish culture. I don't think you can win unless your culture is right. You know, you got to put in place what is your standard, what are your expectations, what things you're going to tolerate, what things you are not, and, you know, just slowly entrenching them what it's going to take to win, to be successful on and off the football field. I think all those things are very important, and all that encompasses your culture, what culture you're going to establish. And that's what we've been doing.
And again, we'll see how that culture takes effect. The preseason kickoffs are, what, about 6 or 7 weeks away? And then that last Friday night in August, we will kick off the regular season. Of course, it'll be our 16th year of the Friday Night Lights postgame here on 1010XL. And I have no doubt we'll have Marcus Wimberly on a number of times this year. Coach, I got to ask you, a graduate of the U in 1997, you were drafted into the National Football League by the Atlanta Falcons. I did radio with a guy that you know probably well from the U, Leon Searcy, for many years. He's on with us here on Middays in Jacksonville on 1010XL. What are your thoughts on Mario Cristobal and the job he's done so far to this point?
He's done a great job. He's done a great job. He's brought in some excellent coaches. I can see the intensity is back down there, because I spent a weekend down there a couple of months ago. I think he's doing a great job. I think he's going to turn things around for the better.
You know, and understanding that you're new to the area, you've only been here 6 months or so, but you were involved in the recruiting game. Obviously, you were recruited as a player. You were a high school coach in other states, and now you're here at Orange Park. A lot of talk this week in particular about the recruiting dynamic in the state, with Mike Norvell in Florida State getting Roderick, with Mario Cristobal doing what he's doing in South Florida, Billy Napier trying to establish his deal there in Gainesville. How would you assess the big three in the state as far as how active they are here in the Northeast Florida area?
They've been very active, but that's what you have to have if you're going to have a winning program. You have to get the Jimmys and Joes in your program to put you over the top. You know, you got to have players. You know, you can be the greatest coach in the world, but if the players can't execute what you have, then it's all for naught. So, but they've been doing an excellent job, all three of them.
Well, Coach, enjoyed the conversation. It's our first time to chat. I know it won't be the last. Like I said, we'll have you on, I'm sure, a number of times on the Friday Night Lights postgame this year. Marcus Wimberly of Orange Park. Thank you very much, Coach. Looking forward to the next conversation.
Appreciate you. Looking forward to it.
It's Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We are at halftime, a Tuesday night edition of Hacker After Dark here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM with Dylan Denmark, the hacker Ryan Green with you. We are streaming until midnight tonight on the 1010XL YouTube channel and on my own personal Twitter at RyanGreen1010XL, at RyanGreen1010XL. Denmark, you are a Gator alum. When you hear Sharif Denson talk about how excited he is with Corey Raymond, with Billy Napier to be a Florida Gator, that must get you pretty fired up as a Gator alum.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, Florida's had a good track record of DBs the last, golly, I'd probably say right over 10 years, consistently getting dudes in the league. And then Corey Raymond, you saw him mention, Sharif mentioned him a couple of times in the interview. So I'm excited to see. And, you know, I mean, there was so much negativity from the weekend. I thought it was really overblown. And then
let me ask you about that. You're 24 years old.
Yeah.
You're very active on social media. You're a graduate of the University of Florida. You worked at WRUF in Gainesville for how long were you there?
2 years.
2 years. I mean, that's a fair amount of time. I mean, you were in the Gator media circle. You're very familiar with that Gator fan base. I thought it was ridiculous, the reaction on social media the Gator fans had about recruiting this past week. I understand being upset losing a quarterback, but that was to an obnoxious level. What did you make of it?
I thought being prisoner of the moment, and I think it's the moment right now, it feels like it's keeping up with the Joneses, because I don't know what it is, but everybody's committing right now. I don't know what the reason is. If like I said, what did we say yesterday?
I think it's twofold. People want to commit before their senior year.
Yep.
And I think another thing is colleges are telling some of these guys, hey, you better think about committing now because I can't promise you a scholarship in a couple of months.
Right. So I think it's a little bit of those two things. But I'm just not a person to overreact to really much. And I'm not a person that really follows recruiting, to be honest. I usually look at recruiting the day of signing day and then go, okay, this is what Florida has, this is what Florida State has, Miami, so on and so forth. So I'm not really one to, you know, really get up in arms. It's only mid-June or late June now. But, yeah, I mean, I was excited. And, you know, there's a lot of guys, too, coming up that are about to commit within the next couple of weeks. And a lot of guys have Florida within their top two, even top five. So
we'll
see how it comes out.
Part of the problem was the people online over the weekend, the people that were complaining over the weekend about Gator recruiting did not know what they were talking about and probably were not recruiting fans. That to me is – that always bothered me when I covered recruiting for Gridiron Now for 4 years, is that the hysteria of losing somebody, the euphoria of getting somebody, but you really didn't follow it. And the only time you even talked about it was when your school either got somebody or lost somebody. You didn't really know what was going on as far as how the recruiting circle was working at the time. Little pet peeve of mine, but nevertheless, Florida has recovered nicely, getting Sharif Denson last night. We're going to talk to Andrew Spivey, my buddy from GatorCountry.com, about all of this and more with what's going on with Billy Napier in Gainesville coming up in just a little bit. Couple of NBA things as well. Russell Westbrook has announced, or it's reported, that he is going to accept his player option. Well, no kidding, out in Los Angeles. Get right out of town. You mean the $47 million that he's due if he accepts that player option? Shocked, I tell you. Of course he is. Now, I mean, can the Lakers do anything about that? Can they trade him off? I don't know. Look, I like Russell Westbrook. I still think he's a good player. I no longer think he's very good. I think he's a good player. He's getting up there in age a little bit, but he's still a good player. He is not worth anywhere in the atmosphere of $47 million for one season. That is absolutely outrageous that that is the money he is due. Very interested to see what happens there. The NBA, look, the finals end a week ago. The draft happens last week, and you're already getting all these rumors from Kyrie Irving opting in to stay with Brooklyn to Russell Westbrook accepting that player option. We'll surely hear some things about Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine in the near future as the NBA summer will really begin to take off. All right, back into the world of college football. Let's go back to Gainesville, Florida. Andrew Spivey does a terrific job for GatorCountry.com. Has been working with that website for many years, covering the Florida Gators and Florida Gator recruiting. What did Heath make of the hysteria in Gainesville about Billy Napier and his staff on the recruiting trail? Did he think it was overblown? And what about the future prospects? They got Sharif Denson last night. Who else could be committing to Florida in the very near future? Huh. Maybe a couple of guys in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about all of it with Andrew Spivey, GatorCountry.com. That's next on Hacker After Dark.
This is Hacker After Dark on 1010XL. Now, another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, we are glad you are with us. Recruiting is hot and heavy in the state of Florida. Miami gets their quarterback of the future. Florida State lands a big one from Orange Park, and Gator fans are freaking out about what is going on with Billy Napier and his staff. Pump the brakes a little bit, Gator fans. Let's talk about that with my friend Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. Does a terrific job covering Gator football recruiting, and he's always kind enough to join us here on 1010XL. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing good, you know, just trying to wade through what I call a depression mode my fans right now.
Andrew, I did it for 4 years. You and I had a much fellowship at the Under Armour All-American game for those 4 years, and those 4 years taught me that recruiting fans are unbelievable. With the euphoria of getting a guy or the absolute panic when they don't get a guy, we're seeing panic in Gator Nation right now. What's your message to Gator fans who lose out on Jaden Rashada, the quarterback from California, to Miami? They see Roderick Kearney of Orange Park go to Florida State. What do you tell Gator fans right now after this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, things are never as bad as they seem, and they're never as good as they seem, and especially in recruiting. They never are. They're never as good, and they're never as bad. You know, I think, Ryan, when we look at this, we're just looking at such a new age in college football with this NIL. You know, I've seen the report that supposedly Florida offered 11.5, and Miami did not. I don't believe that based off conversations I have. But, I can't confirm it because there's no numbers. There's no paper trail. But we're just in a new age of college football with this NIL thing. You know, Florida is struggling in the NIL game. They are. They're struggling there majorly. And, you know, I said this, and it's not popular, but I hope that people will really listen and understand. I don't know how you blame Billy Napier in this situation and his coaching staff. They're getting these guys on campus 4, 5, 6 times at a time. You know, they're getting these prospects wanting to come to Florida, but when the NIL game comes about, they simply don't have the resources. And I don't know how that's a Billy Napier problem, and that's a Billy Napier fault added, or his staff. When you have a Ruiz at Miami doing what he's doing, and some of these people that were involved with Rashada, I don't know how you blame Billy Napier.
Andrew, let's start right there as far as the NIL. Why do you feel, and again, you cover it as closely as anybody and you have for years, why do you feel Florida's struggling when it comes to the NIL game?
I think it's a little bit of a couple things. There is I had somebody tell me Florida has probably the top five most money to spend as far as their boosters go. But it's the boosters and the older alumni not wanting to get back in trouble like they did in the Pell days. And, you know, I had someone tell me this, and that is, you know, for years, Jeremy Foley and his administration and even Scott Strickland early on pushed, don't pay kids. We don't want to get on probation. Don't do this. Don't do this. Now you're kind of changing the tone a little bit and saying, hey, we need your help paying these kids. Oh, and by the way, we need your money for facilities. And it's kind of, you know, back and forth there. You know, I will say that's hurting Florida a ton. Because of that, they need to get everyone fully on board. You can attest to this as well. Florida has some tremendous boosters with some deep pockets. If they can get some of these guys involved, sky's the limit for the program, but getting them involved is there. And, you know, I don't want to call anyone out, but some of these schools that are succeeding right now are schools that have been doing the NIL game for years before it was NIL.
You know, it's interesting to me, again, Andrew Spivey of Gator Country. Look, I understand that recruiting fans are not privied to things like you're privy to, like I'm privy to in the media. We get to talk to, I guess, inside people, if you will. The Jaden Rashada thing didn't surprise me, Andrew, because I was told like 10 days ago that he wasn't coming to Florida. And Gator fans, though, didn't realize that. So when he announces it yesterday, everybody's flipping out that he chooses Miami over Florida. I mean, I was on a podcast with a friend of mine, my co-host Denny Thompson, here in Jacksonville, and Denny said as much late last week that he's not coming to Florida. Gator fans need to prepare themselves for that. Do you think that's the reason for some of the panic, is that even though we know guys are maybe out of the hopper, if you will, for certain teams, fans have no idea, thus they lose their mind when the decision is announced?
Yeah, and I mean, I know I can speak for myself at Gator Country, and you know, we had told our members on the message boards that we felt he was going to Miami, and you know, I think fans kind of hope that we're wrong, and not that we're wrong personally, but that they end up getting a kid. And then you see, you know, some of the tweets that happened on Saturday night with the emojis talking about the NIL game and stuff like that, and fans kind of got their hopes up a little bit. I think that's the biggest thing is they just get their hopes up for it. I don't know that the Rashada thing is what really has the fan base upset. I think it just is kind of just everything piling up. You know, you talk about Roger Kearney. They had Tony Mitchell drop them out of their top four. Just last week, A.J. Harris committed to Georgia, and he was a long-time Florida silent. It just kind of seems like it's all piling on top of each other. And then the Rashada thing and then the note about the NIL stuff all kind of came about. And I think Florida fans are just upset. And, you know, Dan Mullen ruining Florida fans in recruiting and having bad classes after bad classes. And fans are just – haven't gotten over that. They expected better from Billy Napier when he's bringing, you know, these guys on campus four and five and six times in the spring. And it just hasn't happened yet. Do I think it will change? Do I think Billy Napier is going to get his guys? I do. I don't know that it's this year, and that may upset a lot of people.
Couple of more from Andrew Spivey of Gator Country. Does a terrific job following the Florida Gators, including Gator recruiting. Andrew, you've done this so long, man. You know, like you said, one piece of good news is really what flips this thing around. And the one thing I'll say to Gator fans is this, all right? These signatures don't actually meet paper until December. Keep in mind, Billy Napier has yet to coach a game at the University of Florida. If Florida comes out of the gate strong, who knows what could happen with some of these guys that they have lost. My fear, though, Andrew, is that, like we talked about last time, I think Florida might struggle on the field this year, particularly with some depth issues at some key positions. And if you do put together a 7-5 or an 8-4, then you run the risk not only of not getting anybody to flip, but maybe losing some of your own guys in the process.
Yeah, you know, the old saying is it's harder to keep a guy than it is to flip a guy. And, you know, I will say that, and, you know, maybe that's true. It is true. It is harder to keep a guy than to flip a guy. But maybe that is what happens this year, and they're able to flip some guys. But like you said, Florida Florida looks like they may struggle this year, especially with a talented, you know, depleted roster, especially depth-wise right now. You know, let's just say Florida wins 7 or 8 football games on the year. You know, I guess you could use it, and it will be used of, hey, you could make a difference, Trayon, if you come to Florida. You can help us get over the top and that kind of stuff. But then you have a Penn State who may win 10 or 11 games, and they may say, you know, why have to come get over the top? We're already on the top. Help us stay on the top. So you kind of battle that a little bit. You know, I will say this too. A lot of times kids don't really pay attention to the results on the field. A lot of times they pay attention more to the message and the relationships. So maybe that ends up winning out. Like you said, it's July, or not even July yet, almost July. Signatures aren't there. As we've seen late in the cycle last year, kids flip all the time.
Well, and the one thing as we begin to wrap up, and again, I'm not telling Gator fans how to feel. I'm just giving you my opinion. You need to be careful when you're comparing Billy Napier to Mario Cristobal, because somebody brought up to me, well, Cristobal has never coached at Miami either. That's true, but he's got a lot more head coaching experience. He's coached at the Power 5 level, and he has a much, much bigger name in the state of Florida than Billy Napier does. So I don't think it's fair to Billy Napier to compare him to Mario Cristobal, even though they're on the same timelines at their new respective programs.
Yeah, and I mean, Mario Cristobal is one of the worst Saturday football coaches in America. He does less with more talent than anything. Some of the talent he had at Oregon, and he couldn't win. You know, there's a reason he's, you know, been let go at places and stuff like that. So, you know, you can win all you want to recruiting, but that doesn't win you national championships always. I mean, look, it took Kirby Smart forever to win a national championship, and he had, you know, one of the most talented rosters year in and year out. So, you know, Billy Napier does have a very good coaching staff coaching-wise. That was kind of a little bit of what Mullen had, and I will say that that's scary if you're a Gator fan. You know, do you really want a coach who can only coach on Saturdays? No, you don't. But I think that that will help a little bit as kids see the development of guys and that kind of stuff. More so than results, they'll see development from their players. And, you know, Florida, I say this all the time, they just need some kind of good news to go their way to get them back in the positive frame of mind and the fans. And things will be fine. It's never as bad as it is. You know, losing AJ Harris as an Alabama kid, you know, at forever, you never thought you were going to land an Alabama kid. You know, the Jacksonville kids are that's difficult, but they're Jacksonville kids. You can't tell me Trayon Webb's not going to step foot on campus at Florida for an unofficial visit, even if he does commit to Penn State or wherever he commits to. So you have those opportunities with in-state kids. You got to keep the grind. That's why it's called a marathon, not a sprint.
Andrew Spivey, GatorCountry.com. Andrew, leave us with this. What should Gator fans be on the lookout for recruiting-wise? There's some big announcements coming in July. Where might that good news come from in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, Derek LeBlanc, John Walker, and Jakeem Jackson, the DB, those three guys are teammates, and they're all saying they're going to commit sometime in July. I haven't exactly set a actual date. I'm hearing early July on that, and that should get good news going. It's a dead period starting now until the very end of July before Florida will host Friday Night Lights on the 29th of July. It's kind of quiet a little bit. I don't know that that's a good thing for Billy Napier and his staff for it to be a dead period, you know, after the bad news. But hopefully the guys, you know, like LeBlanc and those guys will do something early and try to get the momentum back for this staff as they go into, you know, the Friday Night Lights, and then they get into fall camp and the season. It's not perfect timing, but hey, we all don't get to pick our timing.
Andrew Spivey does a terrific job at GatorCountry.com. Hey, Andrew, always enjoy the conversation, man. Thank you very much. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, Ryan. Take care, buddy.
There he is, Andrew Spivey of GatorCountry.com. That guy works, man. Denmark, I was telling you, when I was doing Under Armour All-American work for 3 years when I was covering recruiting for Gridiron, I would see guys like Spivey down there in Orlando where they had it at the Wide World of Sports. And, like, all of these recruits, all of these high-profile recruits, they all knew guys like Andrew Spivey, because it's all those guys do. I mean, they travel to all these camps. Their job is to talk to these kids nonstop the entire year. It's pretty impressive what they do. It is a lot of work, but certainly fans eat it up, man. Fans appreciate it. Recruiting is a big, big deal for a lot of schools, and recruiting coverage is certainly a big, big deal. Well, that's why you have websites dedicated to it. Rivals, 24/7, On3, ESPN now. I mean, you have dedicated websites that do a lot, if not all, based on these high school kids and their recruiting process. We'll do more college ball with Brent Beard. You see him on First Coast News. You get him frequently here on Hacker After Dark on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. That is coming up in just a moment. The big news of the night, we talked a lot about it in hour number one, the Atlantic Coast Conference changing their football schedule. If you missed it, it's the same this year. Nothing has changed this year, but beginning in 2023, every ACC team will have three consistent opponents every year and five rotating opponents. For Florida State, every year they're going to play Clemson, Miami, and Syracuse. And then they're going to rotate through every other team in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And what's the meaning of that? Why are they doing that? Well, it's pretty simple, and it's smart. You're going to play every team at least once in a four-year period. In fact, I think you play every team at least twice in a four-year period, but you'll be able to visit every ACC stadium in a four-year period. I love it. I think it's great. It's like Clemson went 10 years without going to Miami. That will not happen anymore. I think the SEC is probably going to adopt something similar. So SEC fans, keep your eye on what's going on with the Atlantic Coast Conference and this change in scheduling, because very likely something like that will happen in the Southeastern Conference sooner rather than later. We'll discuss that a lot more on the Florida Gators, Florida State as well. Brent Beard, First Coast News, right here on 1010XL, frequently with myself as well. More college football to come. It is a Tuesday night in Jacksonville, Florida, our late show in Jacksonville. We're glad you're with us right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. It's Hacker After Dark.
Hacker After Dark on 1010XL. Now.
Hello.
Another great guest on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville. We are glad you are with us. The very end of June. Hard to believe Friday will be July 1st. Are you kidding me? We are only a couple of weeks away from SEC Media Days, and we are now officially inside of 2 months until the first Saturday of college football. With that, let me bring in my buddy Brent Beard. You see him on First Coast News here in Jacksonville, and you've heard him on Jacksonville Sports Radio for many, many years. Brent, my friend, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well. It's good to be on with you, Hank, and the thankfully the season is close. Media Days is even closer at this point, and do want to bring out real quick, Hank, that one of the big stories obviously today was Brent Yormark, who is a different kind of a guy, is basically going to be the Big 12 commissioner replacing Bob Bowlesby. It's a different day, isn't it, Hank? As far as hiring commissioners, this is a guy who's worked with some different entities in his life. He was the CEO of Jay-Z's agency, Roc Nation, and I think he's been with some NASCAR and some other different jobs in his life. But isn't this fascinating that we're hiring a different kind of commissioner than what we saw with Mike Slive and what we saw with Jim Delaney with the Big Ten and also the SEC? We're hiring guys who, and this is what we got with the Pac-12 recently, that they've either got experience with television contracts that are coming down the line, because things are changing very much, because the next 3 or 4 years We're going to be expanding the playoffs. We're going to be having all new television contracts, and we're going to be involving streaming entities that we would have never believed that we'd be dealing with some of these things 15 years ago. So it's a bit out of the box in a lot of ways, we can really see some differences with these commissioners because they're going to be facing some different issues than they did, even 5 to 10 years ago. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think back to the conversations you and I had 5, 10, even 15 years ago, and back then it was just college football. Now it's NILs and playoff and transfer portal, and there is just so much stuff. I'm just looking forward at this point, Brent, to getting to August the 27th,
please.
We actually have touchdowns and tackles and actually people playing on the gridiron. With that being said, preseason magazine time, I know we touched upon it briefly the last time you were on with us at the end of May. Lindy's is out, Athlon is out, and boy, Brent, not a lot of love for the Florida Gators in either Lindy's or Athlon, as both publications have the Gators picked fourth in the preseason in the SEC East, behind Georgia, behind Kentucky, behind Tennessee. I've been warning Gator fans, this may not be the year that you hope for. I don't think it's going to be Billy Napier's fault, but these preseason magazines now, Brent, are kind of agreeing with that, that Florida may struggle a little bit in 2022.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. Now, by the way, Phil Steele is coming out by July 4th, so folks may want to keep that in mind. But Florida being fourth in both the magazines, I think tells you the uncertainty in the transition that comes up with a new coach. So because of that, there's some skepticism as to how good Florida could be. But I'll say this, in a lot of ways, I mean, you've got Tennessee's third. Look, Florida's got as good a roster or even better in some ways than Tennessee does. Josh Heupel has got a year on Billy Napier, and that's really all he's got at this point. I get the Kentucky pick at second with Will Levis coming back and Chris Rodriguez. And again, the fact, too, unfortunately for Gator fans, that Kentucky is no longer intimidated by Florida, i.e. last year in Lexington. But a lot of that was the ridiculous penalties along the line of scrimmage from Florida that will be cleaned up. So, and then you've got the uncertainty with Anthony Richardson. I know you saw it like I did the video this past few days of Richardson throwing the ball. Looked like he was throwing it in the air 70 yards. So there's a question. He's got the arm. The question is going to be, how soon can the staff get him harnessed in to where he's playing within himself? And if he does that, I'm not saying they'll have lightning in a bottle, but again, and I think a lot of this with Florida is the first two games. With Utah, Kentucky, Tennessee also in September, we'll know quickly how good this team's going to be. But I think that you put all those things in the hand, draw them out, I think that's why they're fourth.
Well, there's no question about that. Again, Brent Beard here with us, First Coast News. You also hear him very frequently here on Hacker After Dark on 1010XL. But you look at the schedule with Georgia, with A&M. We'll see how LSU is. You combine that with a Kentucky, a Tennessee, a Utah. Heck, South Carolina beat you last year with a junior college quarterback. Now they have Spencer Rattler as their starting quarterback. That's a little bit of an upgrade. So Florida, to me, is going to struggle a little bit this year. But I don't think it's fair, and I don't like what I've been seeing, Brent, on social media. Now, what do we know about social media? It can be a cesspool at times. It's the most negative human beings on the planet. But sometimes it just goes over the top. And for me, when Gator fans are criticizing Billy Napier about recruiting, boy, they were all up in arms until Monday night when Sharif Dennison out of Bartram Trail committed to Florida. The fact that Mario Cristobal got a quarterback. Well, Mario Cristobal nationally, I'm sorry, is far more established than Billy Napier is. The fact that, you know, Napier is not bringing in or not getting these guys to officially commit after their visits, the guy hasn't coached a game yet in right. Gainesville. To be on this guy's case after only being on the job for 6 months kind of speaks to the fact that Florida fans, their expectations might be a little bit out of whack.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the other thing that to me is rather humorous right now, I'm looking at rivals. Well, Florida's 30. Miami's 37. Florida State's 40. So, and again, there's only so much you can put into rankings, but people probably who are criticizing Florida are not even aware of that as far as where they're ranked at this point. Look, there are plenty of quarterbacks nationally that Florida can get on than Jaden Rashada. The ridiculous statement that's come out of this is that Florida has maybe the most dysfunctional collective that this guy had ever seen. Well, I mean, the reality is, who is this guy? And why should we even care? Is the thing here? Look, the thing with, and I told the Gator Club of Jacksonville this the other night, is you've got a coach in Napier who knows what he's doing. He has been at Clemson. He's been at Alabama. He was successful at Louisiana. And he said that one of his goals in all nine of Florida's commits have been within 350 miles of Gainesville. And he said in the beginning that he would focus on that area, and that's pretty much what they have done. The Denson commitment, I think, as you said very well, I think kind of calmed people down with this. Now, they've got people coming and going in the transfer portal. DeMarcus Bowman is leaving again. And again, we got to remember, he got the one free transfer, and now, unless he gets a waiver, he's going to have to sit out. He's ended up at Central Florida. So my thing is, along with yours, is Gator fans just need to calm down and realize they're going to be fine, and to give this guy some time, because what we're dealing with now is basically, and to go with another thing you said, now the season will save us, okay? But the problem right now is we're having to deal with comments from players that people aren't real familiar with, and the other unintended consequence of all this is that's going on is we've got guys who are having to follow some of these stories with lawyers and agents that we have no idea who they are. So we're making them stars for something that's just been going on for 3 or 4 months, and these are guys who are also trying to be the next Jimmy Sexton along this line. So, Hank, safe to say, the best advice for college football fans right now is trust your coaches and just calm down.
A couple more for Brent Beard. You get him on First Coast News. You also get him right here with us on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. And Brent, it's not just Gator fans. I remember when I worked for Gridiron now for those 4 years covering recruiting, the absolute euphoria that fan bases have about a high school kid committing that they've never seen play in their life was always amusing to me. And likewise, right. The hysteria of losing a high school kid that you've never seen play in your life was always hysterical to me. And by the way, from what I was told, the Georgia Bulldogs weren't exactly doing backflips, and their fan base wasn't exactly thrilled when Arch Manning committed to Texas last week. So, again, I don't want to single out Gator fans. It is everybody. By the way, now that we're on the topic really quick, Brent, Arch Manning to Texas, what's been the thought around the SEC? We will see him in the conference, you would assume, at no later than 2025, maybe only for 1 year. But clearly Alabama and Georgia probably disappointed that he chose to go to Austin.
Well, I think they are, but both Alabama and Georgia have very good quarterback rooms. So they're not going anywhere just because Arch Manning did not come there. Manning went to Texas. He really likes Sarkisian, who has a good relationship with he and the family. And look, when Arch Manning is involved, the whole family's involved. And he thinks that Sarkisian is going to be the guy to get him to the NFL, develop him as a quarterback. One of his best friends also committed to Texas, so that has a little bit to do with it too. But I thought the Mannings handled this very well. They were quiet. They didn't make a big deal out of it. They knew and wanted to give Arch time in order to do it. Arch would have been great wherever he is. He is the real deal. I think he's going to be that good once he actually gets on the field. But I thought their no-nonsense approach to this, frankly, was very refreshing. He will help Texas a lot. But heck, I'm just telling you, we're talking about Alabama and Georgia here. Texas roster is nowhere near where Alabama and Georgia is. So they've got to figure out, when they get him on the field, they've got to find a way to get him some weapons. And more than anything else, they've got to find a way to protect him with the offensive line.
Well, that was part one of our interview with Brent Beard. You'll hear part two tomorrow night here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Always a ton of college football to discuss. Thank you to Brent Beard for joining us tonight. And again, part two will focus more on Florida State, Miami, and the Atlantic Coast Conference that we will play tomorrow night on a Wednesday night edition of Hacker After Dark. We have a ton of people to thank tonight. We were absolutely jam-packed. First off, I want to thank, seriously, Sharif Denson from Bartram Trail High School, the newest commitment to the University of Florida. He is obviously in very high demand right now with numerous websites and recruiting outlets, so I certainly appreciate him taking time out earlier today to join me. We were able to bring you that interview tonight. If you missed it earlier, we will certainly replay that later in the week here on Hacker After Dark. But thank you to Sharif for making time for us this evening. Orange Park High School as well. Want to thank head coach Marcus Wimberly for joining us. He is brand new to the high school sidelines here in our area, coming after many, many years on the high school sidelines in other states. He does know this state very well. He played at the University of Miami, was a fifth-round draft pick, I believe, in 1997 by the Atlanta Falcons. So certainly want to thank Marcus Wimberly. And, of course, Roderick Kearney, the Florida State commitment from Orange Park High School. We give you Hacker After Dark replay of that tonight. Those were two of the bigger commitments we've had in the area the last 72 hours. Kearney of Orange Park on his way to Florida State. Denson of Bartram Trail on his way to Florida, and we were able to bring you both of those interviews tonight here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. And again, thank you to Brent Beard, as always, for joining us as he does, and you will hear more of Brent tomorrow night on Hacker After Dark. That'll just about wrap it up for a Tuesday night edition. We always thank you guys for staying up late with us for our late show on Tuesday nights, 10 to midnight. Of course, we're 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock every other night, 10 to midnight on Tuesday. So thank you for burning the midnight oil with Dylan Denmark and myself here on a Tuesday night edition of Hacker After Dark. We will be back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and we will do it all over again. Got some pretty cool stuff later on this week former Florida State players Casey Weldon, Bryant McFadden, former Florida Gators Ben Troop, Earl Everett. A lot down the pipe for us here on Hacker After Dark, and we look forward to bringing you all that over the next 3 days heading in to the 4th of July weekend. Dylan Denmark was your producer. Dylan, great job as always, my friend. I'm the Hacker, Ryan Green, and again, Jacksonville, thank you as always for spending your Tuesdays with us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. So for all of us on Hacker After Dark, have a terrific, Wednesday morning, and we will talk to you later on tonight at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday for Hacker After Dark. Until then, good morning, everybody.